So I come to God and I, Father, I can't do it. And the Spirit reminds me, I know you can't. I just need a humble servant who will be available, who will be a vessel that is cleansed. And that resurrection power that we all have within us, he says, trust me. So today, I'm going to be bringing a message from the second epistle of Timothy, chapter 2. You all have Bibles in front of you, and I would encourage you, if you don't have your own, to pick up the Word of God if you love Him, because Jesus is the Word that put on flesh. Let me just open in a prayer. Father, who art in heaven, as we sing, holy, holy, holy art thou. Thy will be done, I pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done in your servants, your children. Not by our strength, but by your Holy Spirit. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. The grave could not contain him. The same resurrection power, the Holy Spirit power that was in Christ as he raised Lazarus. He calmed the seas. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He created the heavens and the earth. That power is yours and mine if you are in Christ Jesus, if we believe it. Father, you have blessed us in Christ Jesus beyond our wildest imaginations. But through your word and by your Spirit, I pray this day, as you have opened my eyes into the deeper things of your word, that you would anoint your people to have eyes and ears to hear and to see these treasures that are ours in Christ Jesus through your word. And not only that we would see and hear them and know them and believe them, but by you, Holy Spirit, that we would yield our will to what you would have us to do through your word this morning, that you, Father, would be glorified and others would see Jesus in us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to turn there, I won't start right at this moment. I have a few things just to share with you to start with. This epistle is the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage young Timothy of his spiritual heritage that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Paul begins by assuring Timothy of his continued love and his prayers, and reminds him, as he would remind us through this text, not to forget our spiritual heritage as kingdom citizens in Christ Jesus, and of the responsibilities that are ours as Christ's kingdom citizens. We need to be single-minded as we live in this world so that we're not conformed. Why? Because if we are conformed, the image of this world will not only cover the light and the love of Christ in us and dilute the salt, as Pastor Jeff has been preaching about, but we will also reflect the image of this world and look no different to those who are bound in darkness. I titled this message, "Whose Image Am I Reflecting Through My Life?" We need to know and remember that what we believe and our heritage and the hope of the glory that is in Christ Jesus. Let me share with you a passage of this heritage and this glory. This is from my Greek Bible, Amplified. It says here in 1 Peter, you're familiar, it might be a little bit different the way it's worded. Praise, honored, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again. The resurrection power, brothers and sisters, we've been born again with it to an ever-living hope. He has come to give us life abundantly, not as the world gives, but as he gives, everlasting, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born anew with this power into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unfading, reserved in heaven for you and me. Our heritage awaits us. Listen. Who are being kept. This is where the Spirit grabbed me. I'm kept by the power of God through my faith till I fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed to me in the last time. I'm kept by the power of God. Wow, this is our heritage, what awaits us, the hope that we have, and the power that dwells within us. We need to remember and believe that by the resurrection power of the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that we have been born again with the Spirit. The Bible tells us that. And that we are the temples of the Spirit of God who dwells within us. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God reigns within us? You see, we are linked to the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit, the triune God. We are one with the Father and the Son through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That is why Jesus told Nicodemus in John's Gospel, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Elsewhere, later on in John's Gospel, his priestly prayer in John 17, this is what's recorded there by Jesus, his words. That they, believers, you and me, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one with us, the triune God. That the world may believe that you sent me. You see why the devil doesn't want you to be the light and the salt? He fears that. The power. He says also in Colossians, to them God willed to make known that what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is, you know what this mystery is? Christ Jesus in you and me, if you're a child of God. The hope of glory. Our heritage. Our hope. Our glory. We need to remember we have been bought with Jesus' blood, born again of the Spirit. And we are his kingdom citizens. And he is our King and Master. We are joint heirs, as I said, of his kingdom, everything in it. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are ours. Where? In Christ Jesus. We have been translated out of the present earthly kingdom of darkness and lawlessness and death into Jesus' kingdom of light and love and truth and eternal life that is ours. It tells us that in Romans 8, 16 and 17 and in Colossians as well. Before I advance into the scripture for today, I have a few questions to pose before us. Since you've been a Christian, are you maturing and growing in your faith? Are you walking and abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, your King and Master, who bought you with his blood? Or are you allowing yourself, a kingdom citizen of Jesus Christ, to be amused in this world's playground? Let me explain. You see, the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the entertainment and the riches of this world that's not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away. The master of this present world seeks to amuse you and me. He has other devices as well to keep us from being his witness. But the Spirit of God put me on this point to bring before you. He seeks to amuse you and me so that he may extinguish that light of Christ in our lives and wants you to think and me to think that the playground that we play in has no danger to the child of God. Satan's playground consists of a multitude of amusements that on the surface look harmless. Listen to this, especially to the Christians who are not having their minds renewed with God's word daily. You will have no defense against Satan. Neither would I. He has established amusement parks of all kinds and sizes and fun rides, entertainment, music, entertaining games with colorful characters and food to entice the pleasures and the appetites of our flesh. He has established all kinds of amusements with all the media technology available to that with one click of a button, you and I can be entertained for hours in front of our 60-inch HD TV, our computers and laptops, our smartphones and our iPhones. He has established all kinds of sporting events where you can spend hours participating or just watching, being amused. From the young to the old, from baseball to snowboarding, you name it. These amusing playgrounds are a direct assault towards your flesh, our self-pleasures, our self-indulgences, our self-gratification, to occupy our minds with things of this world instead of fulfilling our responsibilities as a kingdom citizen. What does amusing and amusement mean? I looked it up. Noah's Webster, 1828, dictionary, American Dictionary of the English Language. Listen to this. Amusement is to stop or keep at bay, to entertain the mind agreeably, to occupy or detain attention with agreeable objects, music, shows, rides, games, sporting events, you name it. What do these amusements seek to keep you and me from being and doing? Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. I've tried. What is occupying your and my time, energy, resources, and talents? Whatever it is, it will influence and occupy our minds and cause us to walk in that path portraying its image through our lives. We are vessels. I like what Pastor Jeff had to say, I don't know if it was last week, the week before, about the lighthouse. What an analogy. God's word is like a lighthouse. How that lighthouse was there to guide those sailors in those ships, to guard and protect them from the unseen dangers below the surface of the waters, to guide them into the harbor of safety. It's the same with us spiritually. God's word is to also to help us to notice those hidden dangers under the water that could cause yours and my faith to be shipwrecked before we reach the safety of that eternal harbor. In my life, I have witnessed a drastic increase of lawlessness, immorality in this country we live in. How bad does it have to get before God says it's enough? Like he did in Genesis 6. Here's what is recorded, how God's heart felt back then. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Think about today. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And we know that there was only 8 souls that were delivered from the judgment of the flood. I don't know how much longer God will wait before he sends his son as the Lion of Judah. But my heart is grieved for the times we live in, which are truly filled with selfishness, immorality, and lawlessness every day. I don't even like to watch the news anymore, because all I hear on the reporting is of senseless killing of innocent people. Those going to church, those riding a bicycle in a park, those going to a concert, and to hear of those who support abortion, of all the innocent unborn babies that are slaughtered in this country. The stealing, the sexual abuse that we hear constantly that's happening, our judicial and government systems that are corrupt, that protect criminals at the expense of the innocent victims, where our government has removed God from our government buildings and schools and even in our homes, not to mention the rumors of wars at any moment. This world is unraveling at warp speed, heading towards the confrontation of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Is this present worldly kingdom what you or I want to live in? I hope not. Or are we seeking the kingdom of God first, which we are to represent while we're living here in this world? 2 Timothy, chapter 2, is a passage of Scripture. It's not the only one, but it's the one that the Spirit of God put on my heart that instructs God's chosen people about who, what, and how we are to invest the time, the energy, the resources, and the talents that God has given us to be good stewards of while we are citizens here on this temporal earth for him. There are 2 things I want to remind us before we get into the text about God's word, about the scripture. The first one you're familiar with, it's in Hebrews. I'm going to read that just to remind us, for Paul mentioned it many times in this to the church. I know you know these things, but I need to remind you of these things. I need to be reminded. I'm fallible. It says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, about God's word. Familiar to many of us here. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's why I'm praying that the Spirit of God will turn the searchlight on our hearts, that none of us is self-deceived. Because Paul even addressed the church of his day because he was concerned that there was those sitting in the pews before him who were self-deceived. And he said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Serious. Serious. 2 Corinthians 13:5. So I ask each and every one of us in the Spirit to help us to, as we go through this portion of Scripture. I have broken down 2 Timothy into 6 bullet points of responsibilities that are ours as kingdom citizens here on earth. Turn with me, if you're not there already, to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, we'll start in verses 1 and 2, where we'll find the first responsibility that we are to be giving our time, our energy, our talents to be about doing. Now, there's no particular order, I don't think, in this. It's just the way that they follow through in this text. It says, you therefore, my son, speaking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Here we find the first responsibility, being a disciple maker. Being a disciple maker. And he reminds Timothy where his strength comes from. It's in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And where did Paul get this first teaching? He was taught this through Christ. In Christ, when he said in Matthew's Gospel 28, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. The Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples. Something I think the church fails at doing here in America. Verse 3. 3 through 5. Second responsibility. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Here we find the second responsibility as kingdom citizens. Being single-minded, unwavering to our loyalty to our King, Jesus, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy, no one entangles himself in the affairs of this life. You see why Satan sets up these amusements that he places before us. If we can be distracted, think about it in warfare. If a soldier goes to war, if he is not single-minded and unwavering to his loyalty to his commander and the way he was trained in combat, he wouldn't last long on the front lines. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Our enemy is a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may devour. Pastor Jeff taught us a year or so ago on the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Paul talks about this warfare many places in Scripture, but I'm just going to turn to 2 Corinthians and share with you a portion there in chapter 10. Paul tells the church of Corinth, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of our holy God. Bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ." If you or I are being so amused with the things of this world that Satan has to try to entertain us with, it's hard to serve two masters. I know. Verse 6, third responsibility, 6 through 13. I'll read that. Follow along with me. "The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the chosen ones, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Verse 11. This is a faithful saying. If we died with Christ, baptism, we died to our sins with him, we shall also live with him in the resurrection power if we abide in him and him in us. If we endure, Pastor Jeff's talked about it, preached about the steadfastness of our race to the end. If we endure, we shall also reign with him, the hope of glory. If we deny him, what does it say? He also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. There's so much in that passage, but what I'm keying on here is the responsibility as a kingdom citizen. Number three in that passage is being a laborer in the fields of harvest. You see there in verse 8, remember that Christ Jesus of the seed of David, here's the gospel, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul was preaching Christ's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. He preached the whole gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Who was persecuting him? Well, at that time, it was the religious leaders. They persecuted him, just like they persecuted Jesus Christ, the righteous man of all. Even to the point where he was thrown in jail. There's been many who have been cast in prison. There's been many who have been persecuted and scorned and ridiculed. What does the Bible tell us in his Sermon on the Mount? But we're to rejoice. We're to rejoice. And he said that even though that he was thrown in prison, he knew that the word of God is not chained. It is powerful. And he said, therefore, I endure all these things for the sake of those who are lost. What love. What love. Wow. The love of God in our hearts. As Paul knew. Remember where it was said in Corinthians where he had that thorn in his flesh? And three times he prayed. I know I've had a lot of things and afflictions with me, even this cold. Can't compare to it, but he prayed. God, remove this three times. And he says, no, my grace is sufficient. The Holy Spirit reminds me that my grace is sufficient for you because when I am weak, I am strong because his power dwells within me, the resurrection power. I'm focusing on self instead of the soul and the spirit. Brother Brian and I were talking early this morning. What a great time. Iron sharpening iron. And he brought up the fact about where Peter was rebuking Jesus. Surely you're not going to be crucified. No, no. What was Jesus' comments to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. For you are mindful of the things of man and not the things of God. God help us to be mindful of the things of God. So, responsibility number three, again, being a laborer in the fields of harvest. Because we have been called to be God's messengers of reconciliations. That's in 2 Corinthians 5, 18, if you want to look that up later. The fourth responsibility is found in verses 14 through 19. And I'm sure there's a passage of scripture here we're all familiar with, because I know Senior Pastor Jeff, when he was here, preached on this a lot, and so has Jeff Jr. It says this in verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to the more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Think about today, all of the messages that we hear of false teachings and the false gospels. They spread like cancer. Arminius and Philetus are of this sort, false teachers, who have strayed concerning the truth. Sister Susan talked about that, and it's in Revelations. If anybody strays from the truth and adds or takes away from God's word, I pity their souls. Because God is true to his word. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they have overthrown the faith of some. So you see here, what has happened? These false teachers, Satan uses them, okay? And as it says here, we're to be, if we're not in God's word, and his word is in us, if I'm not abiding in him, and him in me, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If it was important for Jesus, how much more important should it be for me and for you? He even said, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit. They're spirit and they're life. So Satan knows if there's someone that is not in the word of God, false teachers can lead them astray and they can become shipwrecked. God forbid. Nevertheless, the solid foundation, verse 19, of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are his. Hallelujah. He keeps us by his power. And let everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. So the fourth responsibility, vital, being diligent, as a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That way, if we're faithful to be disciples of his, then he'll lead us to be disciples of others. How can I train somebody else up if I'm not in the word of God myself? Number 5, verse 20 through 22. I'll probably spend a little bit more time on this one. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, capital M, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Number five, fifth responsibility, being a vessel of honor. Emptied of self and filled with the Spirit of God. This is a vital teaching. This is something where the Holy Spirit has had me, and I believe that's why he's having me share this with you. It's so vital, a teaching of a regenerated person. What I mean by regenerated, if you're not familiar, is being born again. Someone who has come to God through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, born of his Spirit, regenerated person, of how he or she becomes a vessel of honor. Philippians teaches us a great insight on this regeneration and sanctification. Sanctification is where a process of a person's life is being transformed into Christ. It says, let me read this from the Amplified. Philippians, familiar verse, chapter 2, 12 through 13. Paul writes to the Philippians. He was writing this from prison too. Therefore, my dear ones, beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out your salvation, your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, in self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of consciousness, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you. Hear that? It is God effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both, hear this, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, the satisfaction of his delight. It is God who is in us to will and to do. The problem comes sometimes in a child's of God's life. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive this attribute of this new nature. He changes our heart to will to do God's pleasure. Before I was saved, all I was concerned about what would satisfy my will. The transformation, circumcision. He changes our heart to will. That comes at the point of salvation. It's a permanent gift that God has given to the new nature of that saved person. However, the power to do God's will is not a permanent gift, but must be each moment received by faith of the filling of the Holy Spirit to carry out God's will. It's only when a person becomes conscious of his or her own impotency as a believer. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Christ said. So that person, when they learn that, who will learn that by the Holy Spirit, all things are possible with God. He or she can live a holy life through faith, knowing that the power resides within us. I can't do it. Help me, Lord. The struggles in If you read Romans 6, 7, and 8, especially in 7, I will to do, but I can't do it. If you've been there, I've been there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, another familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 1, I encourage you, read 6, 7, 8, read it all. Here's where we find the power. What is the Holy Spirit's responsibility in the triune God's plan of salvation? Listen to this. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are, what does it say? in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I can't do it. I can't keep the law. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements... God didn't save us to leave us in our sin. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you and me, that power that will keep the law. Because that is God's desire. It's his will. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead who regenerates the believing saint being born again and linking, I've said this before, linking that person, that saved person, inseparable every moment with Jesus Christ, who has risen and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. And the Holy Spirit then is our sanctifying power, who changes us into the image of Christ Jesus. If you look in Romans, God's desire is right there. We know the verse above that, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen to what it says in verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he has predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, our image was destroyed in the garden. He's going to recreate that image now through his Holy Spirit, and we wait for that future hope of the new body that our soul and our spirit will be united with him, the complete glorification. This is the sanctifying power here on earth. Now you see why Satan is trying to keep the light and the love of Christ from being radiated from our lives, because he's afraid of the power that is in Christ Jesus, who is in us. He's in us. He's in us. Praise the Lord for sending and sealing us with his Holy Spirit until his work is here done on earth, until he says, go, son, set up your kingdom. Let us be ready. There is a warning. He tells the Galatian church, turn with me, Galatians chapter 3. What can happen to a believer? And I know, it happened to me. I shared this with Brian. Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Listen, verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? By faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now being made perfect in the flesh? I've done that. The will of God, I want to, this is the will of God. And I'm thinking I'm going to do the will of God and my own power. Have you ever failed doing the will of God? I didn't wait for the Holy Spirit. I was looking for the glory. Humble yourself and he will exalt you. It's not about me or you. It's all about him. So there's that warning. Don't try to fulfill the work of the Holy Spirit. Wait upon him. Wait upon him. I've rushed headlong into doing things, thinking I was doing the will of God, and failed. But in the power of God, all things are possible. So, find out where I'm at. Fifth responsibility, very important, they all are, is being a vessel of honor, being emptied of self and filled with the Holy Spirit. Like I said, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me just share with you one other passage in Romans real quick. So I don't want to... It says in the 8th chapter of Romans, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's the sanctifying power that he crucifies that flesh, self, that the life of Christ will be resurrected within us, the temples, that the image of Christ would be portrayed through us in his love. The sixth responsibility, last one, hang in there with me. Let me get back to Timothy. Verses 23 and 26 through 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. We're going to be confronted with those who are in opposition if we are not ashamed. If God, but listen to this. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. That's what we're called to, be messengers of reconciliation of the truth. The Holy Spirit within us, as we're praying through our day, Lord, you know where I'm going. If there's someone there that needs to hear anything that you have for me to say to them, oh, Holy Spirit, use me as that messenger. And it says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. That's why Satan doesn't want you to be given your life to Christ. He wants you to be trying to satisfy our flesh so that the light and the love of Christ is not seen in us. If perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having taken them captive by him to do his will. I was there before, but by the grace of God, a faithful person came to me and shared the gospel, and God granted me repentance. Sixth responsibility. That's a longer one here I got here, being a meek and humble servant of the Word of God, able to teach and correct those in opposition, being willing to do it, knowing that there's going to be those that are going to oppose us in many different shapes, ways, and forms. But praise be to God. They're not rejecting you and me. They're rejecting Jesus. So, sixth responsibility, I repeat it again. Being a humble, a meek servant of the Word of God, able to teach and correct those in opposition of the truth. And I believe if you look at all of these responsibilities, you go back through there, we're not going to be that if we're not a vessel of honor. If we're filled with self, it's not going to happen. And if you're not in the Word of God, being a diligent workman, you're not going to be used by God. You're not going to be concerned about the lost. And as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're entangled in the affairs of this life, he has you. And you're not going to be a disciple maker. You can't serve two masters. In conclusion, we need to ask ourselves, seriously, myself included, after hearing God's word this morning, whose image am I reflecting? Am I so busy spending my time and energy being amused with this world's playground that I don't look any different than the lost? Or am I surrendering my will to God's will seeking by faith. I need you. I need you every moment. To be that vessel of honor, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the resurrection power of love, to empower me to love the lost, to reach them with the gospel, to do the will of God. Kingdom responsibilities, brothers and sisters. And if we do surrender, and that power that's within us, He will keep us and He will make us disciple makers. He will give us a single-minded heart to serve our Lord and be laborers in the field of harvest and be diligent to be a disciple of His and be diligent to be a vessel of honor, emptied of self and full of the Spirit of God, being humble and meek servant, able to teach and correct those who are in opposition of the truth. That's His desire, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you my helper, the Holy Spirit. He had to leave. That portion of His work was completed, but now He sends His Son, the third person of the triune God, to unite us, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to empower us. Ours is to trust and obey, to yield. And He does the rest. And we see the glory of God working in us. What a miracle. What a God. Let me close in prayer. And I'm going to also close part of the prayer in the doxology in Jude. And then, yeah, if you can cue that up, brother. Listen here, and let us make this a prayer of all of us. Oh, Father God in heaven, the message that you have brought forth, Father, we just pray in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, that our hearts would be exposed to you if there be anything within us that hinders. O Holy Spirit of God, cast it out now in the name of Jesus Christ and help us to repent of it. For we cannot do it in and of our own strength, but we know and believe the power that is in us. We yield ourselves to you. Do to will and to have your good pleasure done through us, that you would be glorified, Father, and that others would be delivered out of the bondage and come to the knowledge of the truth of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to Him who is able to keep you, hallelujah, without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of His glory in triumphant joy and exaltation with unspeakable ecstatic delight. To the one only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and majesty and might and dominion and power and authority before all time and now and forever, unto all the ages of eternity. So be it. Your will be done, Father, here on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord. Amen. Okay, we still have the Lord's table. Brother Brian is going to cue up a worship song. You don't need to stand. If you want to stand, you can stand. Go ahead, Brother Brian. But bow before we partake of the elements and listen and worship our Lord.